And now, a guy with lots of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
No, I mean, like, lots of issues.
Shut up and get on with the program. Dude is a snot.
And broadcasting them, searching for answer.
Who is this?
It's Steve Tannen.
Have another donut, you fat pig. Jim Schoenfeld. I don't know how you consistently, wow, make it onto this program. You have your ways. Welcome back. Sports still 5 o'clock hour, 95.3 the score. Thursday! We are 47 hours away from the kickoff from Orlando between number 8 Florida and the number 9 Canes, the unranked Canes of Miami. Thanks for tuning in. If you perhaps would like to contribute to the program, my Venmo account, 284-8571. The Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. You could also hit us up via the text line, 3210824. Try us on Twitter at 953 the score for the station. For the Cho at Sports Talk 953. For our producer, Nick Rogers at Rick Nodgers. They're playing exhibition football. I left to go get a refill on my water as we went to the top of the hour break. I came back and Nick had switched from the Mets and Cleveland pennant race baseball, a guy wearing a San Francisco Giants hat with much San Francisco Giants paraphernalia adorning his office, to put on exhibition NFL football. I would like your thoughts on this.
Well, it's week 3 of the preseason. This is basically week 1. I mean, this is what we spend all of the summer waiting for, is week 3 of the preseason, so that we can just, you know, finally get ready, you know, for week 1 of the NFL. I mean, if I'm not ready to watch, you know, actual college football in, you know, 47 hours at this point, I've got to get my mindset into what it's like to watch almost counting football at this point. And the closest
really
I've got
don't know
right
how to
now,
sit there on your ass and watch football.
Forgotten, man. I've been watching a lot of soccer and baseball and golf every now and then. There was some horse racing involved. I've forgotten about football. I don't know what it's like.
By the way, there is something really weird happening. So the Packers are playing right now. They're playing in Winnipeg. So the team, and this is within the last 2 minutes, the Packers announced they will sit 33 players tonight, including Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams. And they said the field conditions in Winnipeg became an issue. Does that sound familiar? Apparently, a patch of turf in the south end zone where the Canadian Football League goalpost sits was not stable. Check this out. The field is going to be shortened to avoid the end zone, according to Rob Domofsky of ESPN. This is literally as we speak. The story I got from Twitter was 47 seconds old. So the field conditions are bad. They're going to play on a short field, which you remember if you ever played flag football, you'd get out there and you'd measure it off. 1, 2, all right, put this cone here and that cone there, and you basically played between the 30s or the 25s or something like that.
This next week of Hard Knocks is going to be fantastic. We have a whole extra step in the Antonio Brown helmet saga. Now we've got the Packers aren't playing anybody in the dress-up game of the preseason because the turf is bad and it's in Canada. Oh.
Who are the Packers playing? They're not playing the Raiders, right?
They are. They are playing the Raiders. That's why I specifically brought up Hard Knocks.
Okay, I was confused. It was like Spicoli's new schedule. It's like totally confusing. Anyway, there were some matinees today. We've got some Pac-12 to talk about. In particular, who's opening up against who's got a more difficult start to the season. And the reason I say that is, aside from Oregon, because only one other team, Colorado, and we heard at the bottom of the hour the interview with Coach Tucker, they open up with number 25 Nebraska, the other 10 teams play teams that aren't ranked. So we'll chat about that a little bit. Nick is tormenting me watching a replay of the 2004 Super Bowl between New England and Carolina.
Live football, Steve!
The only weird thing is New England still got Brady. When the hell was the last time Jake Delhomme took a snap in the NFL? I bet it's been a while. All right, phone lines are open. It's the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline if you'd like to join in on our daily festivities. 2011 was the last time Delhomme played in the NFL. Brady's like better now than he was then. Let's bring in Brian. Brian, you're live on the show. How you doing?
Hey, doing really good, guys. Hey, Steve, I called you because not that you know anything about gambling or how that works, but you're also good with numbers, and Nick isn't. I got an office pool going about when Justin will throw his first touchdown to his brother. And I got it figured that there are 15 possible games, 5 possible quarters if you count overtime. So that's 75 quarters, plus there's he won't throw any to his brother.
Okay.
I got 76. Is that right?
I guess so.
And what would you pick?
Well, first of all, to make that bet now, Matt is a redshirt freshman. Is
Patrick, true freshman.
What did I say? I was thinking Matt Mariota. Never mind.
I was wondering who you're talking about.
Nope, I was going the other quarterback's tight end brother. So first you have to determine the health of the tight ends, you know, be it McCormick and those guys, and how many opportunities will he have to be on the field to catch a touchdown? Or is he going to be
that's
a special? Yeah.
That's when you pick a zero.
Right. So I don't, my guess would be that there won't be an overabundance of touchdowns thrown to tight ends, regardless of bloodline. But, you know, the bottom line is, and you would have to eliminate Auburn because they're going to obviously have their best players in there. But you'd have to figure if it's going to happen, depending on the health of Camp Moyer and Jacob Breland and McCormick, is he actually going to find his way onto the field this year?
What would happen if Oregon was up 21 late in the fourth quarter?
They probably would run the ball. So actually, Patrick he's an actual freshman. He's a true freshman. Yeah.
Yes.
I just as a gambler, I would take none.
Good bet.
All right. Thanks a lot, Brian. Boy.
Interesting question.
It's a really interesting question, and left field thinks that came out of left field. How many touchdown passes is Herbert throwing to Herbert? I got to be honest with
that,
you.
That Montana game might get a little ugly, and maybe you just kind of throw Patrick out there a little early if it's in the red zone. He gets a quick little out, and Justin's trying to fire one in there just to get the one.
And Mariota, Matt's a senior this year. Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fueled Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Jersey Jack. Jack, how's it going?
Hey, I can't believe you're watching preseason football where they don't play anybody, even in the third game now. They're afraid for injuries.
Brady was out there. I will give him that. But trust me, after next break, I'm going back to baseball.
Oh, did you see Davis's catch? J.D. Davis for the Mets?
Speaking
of left field.
Last night?
No, tonight.
Oh,
tonight.
No. I couldn't because this knucklehead has me watching NFL exhibition football.
Danny Dimes! Touchdown!
The Mets are up 2-0, and Davis just flew out. But he made a catch in left field that was unbelievable. It was Willie Mays-like.
Oh, really? That's not
yes.
That's pretty high praise there.
Well, it wasn't Willie Mays in center field, but it was J.D. Davis in left, over his shoulder, He stuck his glove out, and the ball went in the glove.
They're just out of their mind since the All-Star break. It's insanity.
Davis is leading the league in hitting for over the last 2 months.
Yeah, since the All-Star break, he's hitting .371. He leads the majors. The Mets have the best record. They won 71% of their games. Their team ERA is the best in the majors at 3.1. It's like, where did this team come from?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, where was it in the first 2.5 months?
Well, it's up until the All-Star break. They were AWOL.
Yeah.
They were actually getting mocked. Like, I remember, are they going to get rid of Syndergaard? Are they going to try and trade DeGrom? Is it time to break it up and start from scratch? And, you know, to their credit, they hung tough because of how wide open that wild card race was.
Right. So do we start Daniel Jones game one?
No.
Talk to you later,
They're
buddy.
Not. Take it easy. By the way, Eli's starting game one.
Did you hear Mraz's rant about
Newton is limping?
Yeah, I saw that. The Panthers SB Nation page tweeted that Cam Newton's is limping around or he's hurt or something like that, and I immediately was like, oh, the Tannen curse. It struck again, this time within a half hour, and it just needed the time to travel out to the East Coast to wherever the Panthers are playing. Did you hear on the DA show Mraz's rant about how impressed he was with Daniel Jones, calling him Danny Dimes. Not only saying that he should absolutely be the starter, but because of his footwork and his electric arm, he is on the path to the Hall of Fame. He thinks that it's Favre to Rodgers, it's Manning to Luck, the next line of the great quarterback tradition of handing it off to the next guy is Manning to Daniel Jones.
Wow. And by the way, at Steve Gelbs on Twitter just sent me the catch by J.D. Davis. Jack wasn't exaggerating. So there's a shot up the left field line. Syndergaard's on the hill, obviously. And it's a lefty, so the ball's tailing away from him near the 358 sign at Citi Field. And he's back, and he does, with his back to the plate, reach out his glove in his left hand, and he catches it. It was actually, you know, the very famous Willie Mays back to the plate basket catch in the 1954 series at the Polo Grounds against Vic Wertz. He caught it with two hands. Davis just looks, reaches out, and he catches it clean as a whistle. Wow, I just reposted it on Twitter. That's I'll tell you what. It's 5:14. I defy anybody to come up with a better web gem tonight in all of Major League Baseball. Oh, buddies, did you see Mraz just now, what he tweeted out?
No.
Daniel Theodore Dimes. Let's go.
I cannot. I wouldn't really root against somebody at this point, but just the rise that Daniel Jones went. I ironically picked him for light him up because he threw for 500 yards for Duke in their bowl game or whatever, and I was just like, oh, that's the quarterback of the future. Like, they're not going to get the big names that are going to be falling in the draft. The Giants, they're taking Daniel Jones because he's
Danny Dimes,
just as a complete joke, and then out of nowhere, the Giants were actually just like, "Oh yeah, let's go, Daniel Jones."
We got him, kid from Duke. So Cam Newton done for the night, foot injury. We were talking about Newton earlier, and the fact that no quarterback even close has taken a beating like he has since he's come into the league, and wow. Wow.
You have a curse, man. There is a curse upon you, and things that are spoken into the microphone over the airwaves here, they actually have an effect on people.
Did I pick the Red Sox to win the AL?
This year, you might have. I think you were not so confident in the Yankees in their starting rotation, just like everybody has been not so confident in the Yankees. But I don't know if we ever did our official 2019 baseball predictions. We should definitely do that for the NFL season, though. I need to write that down.
Yeah, we got to get on that. It's ridiculous not to have that. It's actually semi-ridiculous if we don't make a lot of college football predictions as well, that we can completely mock each other over the course of the season.
Well, I think I already you had the one thing that the one thing you were right about, which is of the sticky notes that I've written down, was that you predicted that the media would predict that Oregon would win the Pac-12. And I think I did something similar with like the Big 12 or something like that. I know my one big prediction that I made when the Browns did the OBJ trade was I said they were winning the North, which I'm feeling slightly less confident in just because of like everybody's now a little too hyped in on the Browns. But I think I'm going to stick with it because just it's on a sticky note, Steve. I have to.
We've got a lot of sticky notes. We've got yellow. We've got dark yellow. We've got orange-ish, pink, purple. Mauve.
I think the yellow ones are actually faded orange.
They used to be orange back in the day. There's two different shades of pink. And some of them have like numbers that we need to call in case there's a technical problem. Most of them just have predictions like 3 years from now. Or one of them is, will Sabrina go down as the greatest duck ever? No qualifiers.
That was one that Alex asked you in a Crunch Exchange, and you said, pending, literally ask me in a year. And I asked you literally a year later, and I think you still said pending. So I think it's something we're going to have to revisit again in December.
Yeah, when the season is underway, once I get a look at the rest of the roster.
We have a great prediction. Tim called in at one point and predicted that Virginia and another one seed would lose, and that was the year that UMBC actually beat Virginia.
See, if he would have not gotten greedy, he said there were going to be two.
Right.
But even though he got one for the first time ever, you had to give him mostly credit for that.
Getting 50% and naming the exact team that would lose as well as the one seed, which had never happened before, big points.
I'll tell you what.
Huge.
It would have been the greatest prediction ever. Instead of making that a two-parter, if he would have said, Virginia is going to become the first one seed to lose, then bounce back the next year and win the national championship.
Tim, we'd have to find him, and we'd have to be like, when did you come from the future? How do time machines work?
No, be like,
we need to know.
Here's your ticket. Get your ass on a plane. We're going to Vegas now. No. Now. Just pick a number. Tell me how much you would have earned this week on your job. We're leaving now. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Man, that's a weird story. Packers and Raiders have to play on a shorter field because they're in Canada, and in the end zone, I guess, what is it, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers or something like that? That wherever their goalpost was, there was a big turf patch ripped up. Apparently the field isn't in very good condition, and the Packers just put out a note. And by the way, this all happened within the last 22 to 25 minutes that this guy's not playing, Rodgers isn't playing, precautionary measures, and there's no reason to take a risk in August.
So do they use week 4 as their big dress-up game, even though nobody uses that game as the dress-up game?
The regular
now
season.
They're getting, well, now that's 3 weeks off, basically, because you're not playing week 3, you're not playing week 4. All of a sudden, Aaron Rodgers is just going to cannonball into the NFL season without a big run-up and a dress rehearsal game against the Bears with Khalil Mack? Opening night? First game of the season? It's insanity, Steve.
I think the insanity is on the producer side of this show today with this obsession over these exhibition games. All right, to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline we go. Let's bring in Steven. Steven, good Thursday to you. What's up?
Well, do you think the New York Yankees can win today?
Today? Remember, you called yesterday and I said Oakland's hot. Right now, I would say don't bet against Oakland. My confidence level in the Yankees tonight is minimal, although they do have Tanaka throwing. But based on right now, their bats, which are usually so reliable, have gone somewhat silent in the East Bay.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I want to say go Yankees and go Ducks for next Friday.
All right. Saturday. Beavers play next Friday. I know he's not a Beavers fan. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, if you want to jump on in. You know, it's funny, when late in the show yesterday, we were actually talking about the Oakland A's. We got a call from a very well-informed A's fan, and then they go out and beat the Yankees again. Then this morning, skipper Bob Melvin in the Blue Notes was on with Jim Rome, who it sounded like they listened to yesterday's show because he echoed a lot of what we said about the pending return of Ramon Laureano in center field, how well Mitch Canha has done in his absence. And remember, you were talking about, what would this be, 4 years in a row that Chris Davis hit like 247? He was down to 220, and what would happen if he got hot? And then he hit a homer. You know, they've got lefty Sean Manaea, who has not pitched all season with a labrum injury to his throwing shoulder. He's going to make another start with AAA Vegas. He started Sunday, 6 strikeouts over 5 innings. They might actually consider activating him after that. So he might be activated. So he would throw on Friday, and then they might activate him for next Thursday, which would put him right, they said, late August, early September. And then last night, their first round pick in 2016 out of Florida, AJ Puck, made his MLB debut. And like Melvin said, they dropped him right in the middle of a pennant race. He went out there to start the 8th inning with a 2-run lead against the freaking Yankees. He walked the leadoff man, got a pop up, then gave up a knock, put runners on the corners. He got pulled. Liam Hendricks came in and got out of it. He struck out LeMahieu, and man, Aaron Judge hit a bomb the other night, but he looks way off. And because of this nice run, which started with Oakland bouncing Houston 3-4, they open play. Yeah, they're 7 back in the West, a half behind Cleveland to host the wild card in second, and Tanaka and Roark tonight. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Mike. Mike, good afternoon. What's up?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Man, we've almost made it through the sports purgatory of July and August. I'm so stoked for a lot of the Ducks sports programs this year, not only the football team, but the men's and women's basketball team. I mean, the men's schedule, they released their non-con yesterday, and boy, that's a pretty good For Oregon, that's a pretty good non-con schedule.
It really is. Actually, both schools look like they're going to get serious challenges. So the fact that they would start out ranked, and then if they would, you know, knock off a couple of those teams, by the time Pac-12 play comes around, you know, they both should, well, the men should be in really good shape. I have no doubt that the women are going to contend for the Pac-12
title. Yeah, the men's basketball team is just like, I just want to go early just to see the players and who they are. I mean, my God, I mean, they just did a roster turnover. I think they had, 3 guys coming back from last season. So
yeah, it's crazy.
Could be pretty exciting for Coach Altman. And how can we not be excited about next Saturday? I mean, the 31st and the Ducks down at versus Auburn. So no, great time to be a Duck.
Sure is. Appreciate the call, Mike. Have a good one. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. What do you say we take our final break, our first break of the 5 o'clock hour? It's not like I got plans tonight for nothing. Let's take a break. I'm changing the channel, and we'll be back with more sports talk, 95.3 The Score.
Today's show is brought to you by the Coors Light Frost Brewed Sports Desk. Coors Light is the official sponsor of your Oregon Ducks and the Coors Light Refreshing Tweet of the Day. Tweet Steve at SportsTalk953 for your chance to get involved. Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
Piscotty, short lead at first. Davis hits one to right field. That's hit well. Yep. Judge going back. Judge near the wall. Gone. So that had to feel good for Chris Davis, his 18th home run of the year.
Chris Davis, that was kind of the anti-jinx from yesterday. Normally we talk something about a guy, he's out for the season, like we did with Cam Newton, who hurt his foot and had to leave.
See, there he went too far again. Like, he just picked up a little knock in a preseason game. Panthers took
limp
him out as a precaution.
Limp.
You can come back from a limp.
Zed,
you can't say he's done for the season
his
and then just put that out into the ether.
Franchise in flames. Done. It's going to be that gif of the dog sitting in the bar with everything on fire saying, it's fine.
Hey, Papa!
By the way, the update from Winnipeg. So there was a problem with the field, and the Packers, right before the game, announced, yeah, Rodgers, Davante Adams, nobody's playing. So did you see what they did? They've shortened the field to 80 yards.
No,
Steve. There will be no kickoffs.
I didn't see what happened to the field because you changed the channel, and you took the remote, and it's hiding from
me
now.
I did hide the remote.
I wonder, like, where did they take away the extra the 10 yards from? Did you score a touchdown at the 10-yard line now? Is that basically what it is?
So on this field.
Where do you kick field goals from?
On this field. The dude from Utah that prematurely dropped the ball would have in fact had a touchdown. Joe Walker would not have had a 99-yard return, and maybe Oregon wouldn't have made it to the 2014 playoffs.
Wow.
I forgot what that dude's name was.
It doesn't matter. There's so many good...
It does.
I mean, we wouldn't have had the Jameis falling over moment. We wouldn't have had...
Would Marcus have won the Heisman that year? Went to Cooper Gordon.
Can you imagine a wide receiver winning the Heisman? All because it comes down to Joe Walker picked up a fumble that he thought was a
Desmond
touchdown.
Howard. It's happened before.
But he was
also
a return specialist, which
but
helped.
But he was a dynamite receiver. But and he had the big in 97. I forgot the year now. He had the big touchdown in the corner against the Ohio State. I mean, he had 1,000 receiving yards his last 2 years, along with, obviously his lethal nature as a punt returner, where he averaged, by the way, as a kick returner, he averaged 30 a kick. His Heisman year, he averaged 14 yards a punt return.
That's a pretty damn big
number.
Good. Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine picking up a punt and being like, yeah, 15 yards from now, that's where we're going to end up with the ball?
At least.
Oh.
Well, think about it. Not every punt goes inside the 20, so you're operating from between the 35 and 40 on average.
Yeah, with a college punter whose leg isn't as strong, so maybe the kick's not going that far, or they're working too hard on angling it, and they take a bunch of distance out or something. Oh, man.
Wow, you really overthought that one.
I did. An underrated moment from that Rose Bowl moment that we wouldn't have had if Joe Walker never picks up a fumble was Jimbo Fisher on the sideline yelling at Jameis, you calm the bleep down or you're going to the bench.
I forgot about that.
I was like scrolling through my phone on Twitter after that game ended and I saw that gif, I laughed hysterically. I still have that saved somewhere on my computer. It's one of my most favorite gifs ever because it's just like an out of nowhere moment where you're like in a playoff semifinal game, you're getting your butt handed to you and you're actually considering pulling out a quarterback from the game.
Pissed. You're
that mad at a guy that you're just like, I'm taking you out of the biggest game of the year because you haven't calmed down.
A year before that won you a natty.
Into Heisman.
Kalen Clay.
Oh, okay.
All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. I think Syndergaard has found his nasty again, though. Cleveland has put a couple on. They're up 2-0. I know they played today. Could you have, so within about a 17-hour range, had two more different games at Wrigley last night and today. The Cubbies won 12-11 last night. The big blow, a two-run shot off the bat of Chris Bryant in the eighth. And off his best start as a Cub, Yu Darvish got smacked around, 7 earned over 5 innings. By the way, he gave up 4 homers. Longoria, make sure you get out and vote. Pilar and Little Yaz. That was brutal. Though a great closeout by Kimbrell, who I've been telling you Cub fans to keep an eye on. He's a walking ulcer.
I was watching that game like thinking, oh, thank God the Giants are going to get back in this. Kimbrell's coming into the game 1-2-3 inning. Super easy.
Two strikeouts, by the way. Ball never left the infield. And by the way, the night before, a 1-2-3 ninth. Because he'd had 5 really, I mean, his ERA stinks. It's in the fives. And today it was the best receiver in the major leagues, Jeff Samardzija, for San Francisco, dueling with Kyle Hendricks. Cubbies drew first and only blood. Rizzo with a cap spinner in the fourth inning, and three relievers would each throw two-thirds of an inning of shutout baseball, allowing just one hit between them. The Mets are insane, what's happened here. And it's so strange because it really is a Yankees town, but because things change so much, and even though most people in New York are Yankees or Mets fans, you know, there's still that representation once you get across the bridge, out of the Bronx, out of Harlem, out of New York City, into Queens, onto the island. They do take a lot of pride in the Mets. But the Mets have baseball's best record since the All-Star break. And you're talking, it's about a quarter of a season now. They're winning 71% of their games. Their ERA, team ERA, is 3-1. In MLB now, the way the ball's jumping off the bat, that's crazy good. And while there's a lot of attention on Pete Alonso, and justifiably so, he just set the NL record for homers in a season by a rookie. And Jeff McNeil, who out of nowhere ended up in the batting title hunt. Plus the, you know, Conforto, the ex-Beav, is coming around. The Todd father has gotten some big hits. But this dude, J.D. Davis, who was actually the Astros' third-round pick back in 2014, who only had 165 at-bats coming into the season, he's got the best batting average since the break, 371. By the way, watch this play. Alonso going to his right, and Syndergaard, first he knocks it down, picks it up clean. Syndergaard hustles over to cover. That was first and second with two outs. That's who were we watching? A couple weeks ago, where the pitcher forgot to get over. I think it was maybe it was a reliever. It wasn't Cologne. That seems like the
no. It was. It was the Cubs, and it was Kimbrel. It was that ball.
Right. It was early on.
Yeah, it was a ball that Rizzo like dove for, and he was playing way back and in some weird position that he never should have been in. And Kimbrel didn't jump over to cover because there was just no reason that Rizzo should have ever fielded the ball that he did, and Rizzo had to come in and slot and, you know, Superman dive into first base to get the out.
Yeah, and that was one of the first games Kimbrel after his call-up, because that was weeks. Remember, he hasn't been with them that long.
No, it was right before he went on the DL for a couple weeks. He had been around for maybe two or three at time. Yeah, it was a couple weeks
seems
ago.
Well, I was going to say a couple weeks ago I wasn't here. That was last week. I'm losing track of time. But anyway, you know, the thing about the Mets, though, and I've cautioned some of my Met fan friends who are going nuts, they're in the East, and Philly and Washington are good. So are Atlanta, and they've got a lot of series with them right now. They're tied with Philly just a half a game, one and a half behind the Cardinals for the last wild card spot, three back of Washington. So they've got two more series with Philly home and home, one more with the Nats, and check this out. I mean, this is a good Cleveland team. They're going for the sweep right now with Syndergaard up 2-0 with the Mets coming up in the sixth. But after this series, the East-leading Braves come in, then the Cubs, then they go to Philly, then they go to Washington, then they go to Philly, and then Philly comes in. So that's five killer series in a row with teams who are all very much in the hunt. While the Mets right now are getting a lot of love around baseball for pure drama, man, what the hell is with the Dodgers? They walked it off again last night. That's 11 times. I mean, you know, that's like one every six games or something. It's crazy. Walker Buehler, he's been as good as anybody in the majors. He threw seven shutout innings. By the way, eight strikeouts, no walks. They had Kelly with a perfect hold. Then Jansen came on, closed the door in the visitors' ninth, and no. Rowdy Tellez hits a no-doubt bomb, but he gets bailed in the bottom of the 10th when Max Muncy comes up. You know, it's funny. Because if you're a baseball fan, all right, so that's Muncy's first ever walk-off homer in the regular season. Do you remember the walk-off homer he had in the postseason? I'll give you a hint. It's pretty damned famous. It was in the 18th inning of Game 3 last year. Eovaldi, who Eovaldi, remember in that game, man, did that dude deserve better? He came in and pitched six innings of relief, like five shutout innings. He comes in, a guy on, Muncy hits the homer, and he has to take the loss. But these guys are nuts.
That game started at 5:09. It went 7 hours and 20 minutes. 7 hours!
And you can't leave because
it's the World Series.
It's the World Series. It went to eight. They played two games. They played two games, literally.
They played two games in almost the time it would probably take you to play three.
Well, or the time the Yankees and Red Sox can play seven innings. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Before we take a break, a shout-out to our friends at Small World Auto, conveniently located at 2090 West 11th in Eugene. The phone number is 228-9774. They're a family-owned automotive service center. They encourage you to keep up on those scheduled maintenance checkpoints, be it to get a tune-up or get your oil changed. And, of course, if you're having a problem with your car, domestic or import, if you know you need service, give them a call. They've got a tremendous reputation for integrity, the caliber of the work they do, how they stand behind it, and a really well put together website, highly informative, and let you know all you need to know online, smallworldauto.com. All right, we're into the home stretch, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. We'll take a break. We'll have the tweet of the day. Wrap up Thursday next. 95.3 The Score.
You're home for sports on the radio. We are 95.3 The Score.
And now,
it's the Coors Light refreshing tweet of the day.
They are trending, twittering, tweeting, you name it.
On Sports Talk with Steve Tannen.
LOL, laugh out loud, OMG, oh my God, WTF, why the face?
Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
Hi, everybody.
Hello, Dr. Nick.
So loud, so rude, Steve.
That was loud.
What are you angry about? Why are you so mad?
That was a happy emphatic.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm really stoked. I'm really loving this time of year when it rolls into, I mean, my goodness gracious me, oh my, this is a beautiful thing.
I'm Nick Rogers at the Coors Light Frost Food Sports Desk. Here for the Coors Light refreshing tweet of the day, Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. We've mentioned it a couple times. Next week's episode of Hard Knocks, should speak for a legit
living.
Easy
for you to say.
Yeah, is going to be great because the Packers and the Raiders are playing on an 80-yard field because of bad turf at Pwn Team, P-W-N-T-E-A-M, Pwn Team. On the shorter field, Packers defenders won't have to run as far after intercepting Nathan Peterman. another one from at Shad Joe, that's Joe Shad. Jaguars challenge an alleged pass interference on Eric Rowe with no score in the first quarter of a preseason game against the Dolphins. This sucks. That is some of the fun content we are missing right now because you want to watch baseball that's being played in the rain. Can you believe that? Defensive pass interference challenges are just coming and going our way. And
now,
just
since
like,
they
ah,
went
rain
to a rain delay, I wanted to watch my boy Thor. Ugh. Plus, I'm pissed off at Cleveland because they beat up on the Yankees.
Anyways, an update from at City of Eugene. There are three streets that are going to have to get renamed off of Hilliard and 5th Street by the Ferry Street Bridge. Three streets that are going to need to be renamed. Apparently, City of Eugene is already saying Roadie McRoadface and Streety McStreetface are off the table. So Rob Mosley tweeting out Mariota Way, Ionescu Drive, and Brooks Boulevard. Three very strong options, I believe.
Brooks Boulevard. I went Bilotti Boulevard, Sabrina Street, a Mariota Place, I think.
Mariota Place, Mariota Way.
Couldn't think of a Mariota with an M.
Yeah, there aren't street designations that start with M.
No,
like
I couldn't think of
the
one.
Mariota Motorway, but I mean, that would.
That sounds like you're going to have a race.
Yeah, it does.
the Mariota Motor Speed.
The Mariota Motorway. does sound pretty good, though. But our refreshing tweet of the day is from at Onion Sports, tweeting out, Derek Jeter just going to go ahead and count the stray cats in Marlin attendance figure.
Wow.
Which actually comes with a little grain of truth. If you listen to the Levitard show with David Sampson, he has said in the past that the Marlins would not necessarily fraudulently lie about their attendance, but they would buy up sections of the stadium at a time for like tickets for like a dollar. The Marlins would buy them for a dollar, like from themselves, to boost their attendance figures by saying like, look, people are there, giving away the tickets to kids or whatever. If like they were showing up, you count them as double. So with every line, with every joke, there's a hint of truth, and that one is actually spot on. So counting cats as being in attendance definitely makes sense. So thanks to at Onion Sports for the refreshing tweet of the day. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at 953thescore. Remember, you can listen and subscribe to our podcast on Spotify. Search for Cumulus Eugene. We're also on iTunes as well, Cumulus Eugene. I'm Rick Nodgers on Twitter. Steve is at Sports Talk 953. Do not be a jerk. Just do it.
Houston, do it. See. All right. Home stretch of a Thursday. So we had to get back to NFL exhibition football because the New York baseball Mets, after getting out of a jam in the sixth, moved to the bottom of the sixth, up 2-0, with Syndergaard towing the slab and in command when the rains came. And by the way, you knew it had to start raining because there was a man on, two outs, and they're like, stop! And guess what they did? They stopped! So I guess it's exhibition foosball for the rest of the night, rest of the show at least, until I get home. I like this story. First of all, the late breaking, the news we woke up to that Patrick Chung, the former Duck Patriot, current Patriot safety, got busted and was arraigned on cocaine possession was the top story on ESPN for hours and hours and hours and hours today. Now it's Conor McGregor. I was in the wrong for punching a man. Oh, so outside the ring, he and it was an older guy in a bar in Dublin. And I love these guys. First of all, you're in a bar and it looked like they were raging. You know, just like, nah, 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 shot for me. I'm buying shots there. I'll chug this pitcher. Ah!
Everybody's drinking on me tonight.
And so, you know, once upon a time, these things would happen. And then it would be Connor said, that Jack said, that Al said, that so-and-so said.
Why don't you want my shooter, Jamison?
Now there is a video. I love, he goes, the video was like a dagger to my heart. I was in the wrong. That man to deserve to enjoy his time without having it end the way it did.
Does that make the video a shot to the heart?
Oh, and you're to blame for bringing that crap up.
There's a better joke in there that I just can't connect the dots on, but you know, I'm working on it.
You got time. Okay. You got time.
4 minutes. So.
And, of course, McGregor is like running with the law Jones. He broke a cell phone outside a club in March in Miami. He admitted he was wrong there. By the way, you know what helps and really diffuses these situations? When it's a high-profile, wealthy guy, and rather than face charges, the person who would be in the position to press charges like takes a check or something, because that'll learn him. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. So, yeah, he's a piece of work. That dude is he just always looks ready.
So the story on that is just like the guy refused to take a shot specifically from Connor, or was it just like, hey man, why aren't you drinking? Like, have a shot. And the guy's like, ah, bleep you, my Irish dude, I'm gonna punch you or something like that. Like, I'm not drinking today. I can't do it. I've had enough to drink. Maybe he didn't see the shot. Who knows?
But I didn't get an exact account. So the investigation said that I think he offered to buy him one and he turned him down.
Because I would think Connor's partied enough and partied it enough with, you know, his fellow Irishmen that he has probably like offered shots to people and probably not known that they've turned it down just for whatever reason that they didn't want a shot. But I can't imagine that this is the first time that he's actually been denied like somebody taking a shot from him or something like that. Like that seems a little.
Yeah, I have a feeling that he was insulted and he may have been egged on emotionally by imbibing. And let's leave it there. And did we do either a Crunch Exchange or in one of our segments when he announced, it was right around the time of March Madness, that is, he was retiring. Were we of the opinion that that was kind of like double over laughter, funny, that there's no way he's not going to get back in the octagon again? I mean, who's kidding who?
He lives quite the lavish lifestyle. He's going to realize this money ain't going to last forever, and he'll come back to Dana White, and he'll ask for a fight again, and he'll ask for a tune-up fight that he'll win, and then he'll go with his, is it Triple G? Is that the guy he keeps trying to go up against that he's like thrown the hand carts and stuff at?
Cormier?
No.
Because that's who beat him.
No, there's someone else that he's like
kind of. Triple G's a boxer. He's not a UFC guy. Ugh. Golovkin.
Okay, never mind. I'm very much not versed in the MMA or
boxing.
Because
he lost to
world.
The Russian dude in October. So it's a year, basically. And so he announced his retirement on Twitter, and then he did an interview where he goes, no, I'm not retired. And it's like, oh, my God, you're just – and by the way, you want to talk about piling on. Even he said, the quote I saw was, I must get my head screwed on and just get back in the game and fight for redemption, retribution, and respect and the things that made me the man I am. I am. I am. So, you got that going for you, which is nice. As far as us, well, folks, that's a story for another day. And that day will be tomorrow. We'll talk with Aaron Fentress of The Athletic. We will get ready for the first weekend of Counting College Football. Obviously, it'll be a big weekend of MLB. It's the next to last weekend of exhibition NFL football. So we'll have that. I still got a lot of Pac-12 news and notes to cover. So looking forward to a Friday to wrap the week up. Have yourselves a great night. Thanks for listening to Crunch Time and Sports Talk on 95.3 The Score.